This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on June 25th, 2009. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
We'll begin with Neugebauer AO Agenda Document 0935. And we have a presentation from David Atkins and Robert Knott of the General Counsel's Office. Would you proceed, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning.
Excuse me, yes. Commissioner McGann needs to be recused.
Good morning to the remaining commissioners.
The record will reflect that Commissioner McGann is no longer in the room.
Agenda document 0935 responds to a request for advisory opinion filed on behalf of Congressman Randy Neugebauer and his principal campaign committee. The congressman and his family formed a Texas LLC, which then purchased a recreational boat. The LLC intends to rent the boat to third parties, and to that end, it has consulted with Washington, D.C. area boat rental companies to determine the fair market value of renting a comparable boat. Congressman Neugebauer and his committee ask a number of questions related to the use of the boat, including whether the committee may use the boat for events without charge, whether the committee may rent the boat from the LLC at the fair market value rental charge, whether the congressman may use his personal funds to rent the boat from the LLC for his committee, and whether the LLC may rent the boat to other committees, including other principal campaign committees, leadership PACs, and party committees. The draft concludes that the committee's use of the boat without charge would be an in-kind contribution from the LLC that would be limited by the Act's contribution limits. Any additional use of the boat by the committee would be subject to the usual normal rental charges. Furthermore, the congressman would be permitted to use his personal funds to rent the boat from the LLC for his committee. And finally, the LLC would be permitted to rent the boat to other entities at the usual and normal charge. The commission received no comments on this request, and I'd be happy to address any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. Any questions, counsel? From anybody, any of the commissioners? I had a problem with a couple of the questions early on, and I'm going to just make the point that I would support the approval of answers to questions 4, 5, and 6, but as 1, 2, and 3, I'm still not prepared to support those. So if someone wants to make a motion. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I understand what your concerns are, and I thought a lot about this one also, and it originally thought I was going to be voting the other way, but as I went through this again last night, I realized that this answer is consistent both with the way I've approached a number of other issues, honoring the whatever legal form an entity takes. I don't usually look behind whether it's an LLC or an S-Corp or an LLP, you know, however the entity organizes itself usually dictates how I will look to this. And even if we were to pierce the corporate veil, so to speak, and look at the family members, I've always taken the position that family members are limited in how much they can give to a campaign. And so you get to pretty much the same place. I do think that, you know, these personal use issues are kind of lurking in the background of this case, and I think that's why they asked, because it's he'll be using this in part for pleasure, and in part his campaign committee and other campaign committees are going to be renting it, and you know, while they'll be doing it at fair market value, and that's all appropriate, it does in a sense subsidize his family's boat. And I particularly appreciated the question that Representative Neugebauer asked about using his personal funds to pay the LLC the fair market rental charge for the committee's right to use the boat. That's not required, but it's certainly permitted, and I, as I said, I appreciate the sensitivity to the appearance issues that a question like that suggests, and I think that that certainly would If he were to do that, that would certainly hold to the very highest standards of how to approach this and would remove any conceivable appearance issues or anything else that are associated with that. So I commend him and his lawyer for thinking about that and thinking about those issues. And as I said, that's not required, though. It's just, you know, one of his alternatives. And otherwise, I wanted to make that comment and to explain why I'm going to vote for this draft, although I think originally I had suggested that I might go the other way on this.
Just to add to that, that really is the crux of my concern, but part of it also has to do with my concern over a little bit of the inconsistency of the information before us at this point. In the letter itself, it indicates that there's a 60% ownership by the congressman and his spouse. In theory, then one half of that would be 30%. But then it goes on to say in footnote 1 that the 40% is owned by a limited partnership owned by the Congressman Newgauer and his wife. So in that other 40%, there's an amount that's owed or owned that's unspecified as to amount, right to use, or anything else along that line. So at this point before us, we don't have really an understanding with particular clarity regarding how much is really owned in an equity interest or otherwise by the congressman. The other concern that I have in that regard is the documents that relate to this have not been made available to the commission in such a way that they can be publicly used. And then one of our staff has indicated that they've attempted to obtain documents supporting the relationship of the parties, but that has not been made available. And that always makes it, I think, puts us in somewhat of an untenable situation without more clarity regarding it. There is a representation that the requester's counsel has reviewed the LLC agreement herself and has represented to us that does not address the congressman's personal right to use the boat in any way whatsoever. So we have a representation from counsel, but the documents are not available to us for that purpose. And if they're made available to us, we were told that we could, in any event, make them public. So it kind of hobbles us to be able to discuss what the contents of those might be, unless the documents could be made public if need be. And, you know, for those reasons, I think it's hard to support that, especially when the first question being asked is, may the committee use the LLC's boat for the committee events without charge if such use does not exceed Representative Neugebauer's right to use the boat? And we have a representation by counsel that the documents before that the counsel has reviewed says that there's no such information provided. The requester's counsel has reviewed the LLC agreement herself and has represented to us that it does not address the congressman's personal right to use the boat in any way whatsoever. So because of the uncertainty there, I can't support paragraphs 1, 2, and 3, the questions that are asked, but certainly the more generic ones in questions 4, 5, and 6 I support. So I think for the record I will say that, but I think that we've understood that rather than trying to have bifurcated motions, I'll vote opposed to a motion to support the whole opinion, but for the record that it's only as to questions 1, 2, and 3. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move, therefore, that we adopt Draft Advisory Opinion 2009-07 as set forth in Agenda Document Number 09-35.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. The motion passes 4-1. And Commissioner Weintraub can, as I understand, is recused from the draft opinion 2009-11.
Yes.
And the record should show that Commissioner Weintraub is leaving and Commissioner Gann is returning.
Okay. I'm not leaving the room, though. I'm just going to sit down there.
Mm-hmm. For the record, Commissioner Weintraub is no longer at the table, but is still in the room, but recused from this matter. We have Joshua Bloom and Robert Knopp. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
As you are aware from last week, Senator John Kerry and his principal campaign committee requested an advisory opinion, and you have before you agenda document numbers 09-32 and 09-32A, which provide three possible responses and are designated drafts A, B, and C. Consideration of these drafts was held over from the Commission's June 18th open meeting to today's open meeting. Since June 18th, we received one comment from the requester on draft C. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Comments from the Commission? Commissioner Bowerly.
Thank you. And I appreciate my colleague's agreement and the requester's acquiescence in our holding this over to this week and giving us an extension on this matter so we could further consider it. I appreciate that. I appreciate the comment that came in that more fully addressed the issue of whether this might be personal use or not with respect to the proposed transaction. In my view, the language that permits funds to be spent for any lawful purpose in the statute is necessarily limited by the prohibition on personal use. So the question for me here is whether this activity is an expenditure, and if so, whether it would be personal use. The threshold question of whether something is an expenditure in past AOs has been limited, and certain types of investments have been read out of the expenditure arena because they are viewed as conversion to a type of cash on hand, and therefore not actually expenditures of the funds. The regs don't define cash on hand, and the reasoning in draft C comes closest to my view of why this activity is not an investment, as that term has been used with respect to the Act. And I recognize that that's not how we colloquially use the term investment, but as I read the Commission's past AOs on this topic, which, you know, we don't have a lot of guidance coming from the statute or the regulations, but the Commission has said that the committees may invest funds if the proposed investment is equivalent to cash on hand. And we've also said in the past that committees may not engage in ongoing business or commercial venture without reporting that income as a contribution. Now, while I recognize that we have sort of a spectrum, we have savings accounts, which are clearly, you know, permitted and have been for a long time, and we have some other activities that have improved over time as an AO, and we have on the other end truly commercial ventures, which would require expenditures and contributions. And I recognize that this one falls somewhere in the middle. But in my mind, the proposed use of the funds here is not sufficiently similar to the cash-on-hand scenario to qualify as an investment. And with all due respect to the requester's most recent comment, the idea that the committee may not spend its campaign funds on a business or commercial venture isn't really new. As early as 1983, the Commission concluded in Citizens for Emory that it could only rent its computers at a fee-for-service basis if they reported those funds as contributions. And I can appreciate that we have a disagreement over whether this constitutes an investment. But in my view, I reached this conclusion by looking at past AOs as they've interpreted the Act and the regs, and as I view this one in reflecting the my interpretation of the Act and the regs, I simply cannot get there. And I don't reach this decision lightly or quickly, and so I do have to object to the suggestion that this conclusion, while not one that will apparently have a majority view of my colleagues, I don't think that makes it arbitrary or capricious. So I appreciate that we are going to disagree on the law sometimes, and there are many views that could be taken here, and I do admit that this is a close case. With respect to whether providing the funds in this proposed transaction would be a personal use, I do really appreciate the additional discussion provided by the requester. As I said last week, I respect and appreciate Senator Kerry's involvement with veterans issues, and yesterday's submission provides detail and explanation about the nexus between the contents of the proposed movie and his duties and campaign interests. It makes a compelling case that this activity would not exist irrespective of his candidacy or his duties as an office holder. Demonstrating that this is not personal use may not necessarily be the end of the question, however, because I think it does, as structured, the transaction that is before us would anticipate, if certain conditions are met, a return of the original funds, plus an additional 20%. And so I think that the receipt by the committee of those funds may have to be viewed as a contribution. And so, and those, that raises additional issues with respect to whether source and dollar amount limits apply, the treatment, the tax treatment of this particular LLC. So based on all of this, I'm not going to be voting for any of the drafts before us today. And I appreciate all the work by counsel's office and my colleague's office that have gone into those drafts. But to me, there are still unanswered questions with respect to the potential treatment of those. And there may be another transaction similar to this one that may be entirely permissible under the statute and the regulations. So I don't want to foreclose that possibility by voting for what had been my original intent to vote for draft C. I think the additional information has convinced me that this would not be personal use. But as structured, I don't think that it's clear that this would be a permissible transaction. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Any other comments from the commissioners? Commissioner McGann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just, I want to make sure I heard you right. So you're not in favor of any of the drafts?
That's correct.
Okay. So we're not for anything? We're just against?
That's correct. And okay. I think I was maybe...
Okay. So maybe draft
four,
D.
Four, I was... Right. The
draft D that hasn't been drafted yet. Okay. Well, we talked about this last week, and in my view, not much has changed. I think the comments by the requester are very strong and say it much better than I could here at the table. So to the extent anyone reviews the transcript or wants to know what I may be thinking, read these comments, and it really does capture, I think, the issue before the commission. I do want to note, because I appreciate this sense of humor, they were filed at almost precisely the same moment last night that Draft C went public a week ago. It was a nice touch. I got the joke. And it's, you know, illustrating frustration with certain practices by, you know, this method sometimes is very effective. but leave it as it may. Nothing's changed, I think, for me from last week, so that's where I am. Mr. Chairman, what I don't know what to do is, procedurally, what we're actually going to vote on, because they're not four votes, and we're just going to agree that we can't maybe issue a letter that we're not going to render an opinion in this one, because unless there's a change of heart from what you said last week, I don't see four votes here for anything.
I think, and I'd like to say a few things in a minute, but maybe procedurally, the thing that it would be to vote for the draft that you want to support, and if there's a no vote to that, then that's probably as far as we're going to get. Mr. Vice Chairman.
I don't want to cut you off. I know you have some remarks, but just on the procedural point, I'm wondering if maybe what we'll do is instruct counsel to put together a draft saying that the commission was not able to answer your question. There weren't four votes for any position, and then we could make the motion could be on that instruction to counsel, and then that could be our vote.
So the theory would be not to vote for any draft opinion? Not to vote for any draft opinion, just that I'm able to give an opinion.
We kind of know where we are, right. And rather than go through the exercise of going through votes where we think they're not going to go anywhere, we might as well just go cut right to the chase on that point.
Counsel?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. As to the Vice Chairman's suggestion, there have in the past been precedents where we have done something like that, where there has been a motion to instruct our office to prepare a letter indicating that the commission is not able to issue an opinion and that it closes the matter, and we can certainly do the same sort of letter in this situation if that's the vote that passes.
Now, let me say a few things. I appreciate, again, the letter and the time you took to write that. It did help me a lot on the issue that I raised about the personal use matter. I still am like Commissioner Bowerly. Let me just say, generically, draft C has more attractiveness to me, but it wouldn't be mine if I were going to just draft it personally on my own. So I do agree that it's probably better that to just to refer to it generally. But it does cite in there some law that I think we should stay bound by until we decide to depart as a commission in a more organized fashion through rulemaking, or maybe even a formula. Policy or something to that effect, but traditionally we do look at investment not in the college dictionary sense, but in the sense of what it's in the campaign coffers for. I know I was criticized by using the word what donor intent is, but it does ring to me. It has some sense of justification to look at it partially from that way, but rather if we look traditionally just at what we've done, the AO 1975-41 Schuster, AO 1980-35 Flora-PAC, AO 1997-06 Hutchison, these are all in draft C, by the way, AO 1999-08 Specter, AO 1976-25, all refer to, for example, such a transfer represents merely a conversion of one form of cash on hand for another. And that's not that we have to live precisely by that, but I still think to depart and invest in the promotional aspects of a movie film moves farther than I'm prepared to go and still call it an investment at this point. Especially, I don't have any doubt, really, that Senator Kerry can make a success of the film, but that's not really our call down the line. It's going to be people who want to invest in films generally, and I think that's problematic. The campaign can never be sure that that money would ever come back or when it would come back, and it wouldn't be really able to be sensibly put on any kind of a balance sheet regarding what amount of money really is available to the campaign at any given time. So it goes farther than I'm prepared to go. On the other issue, the thing that troubles me the most is, and I think I alluded to it in the last meeting, and that is paragraphs 2 of both of those agreements. And I recognize that both of one of the agreements may not come to pass, but in each one of those instances, it provides that, for example, in one, notwithstanding the foregoing, in the event that the parties elect to form a single-purpose LLC in connection with a picture, WMF may assign such right, title, and interest into the LLC, thus meaning that in theory, this is in one agreement, and then in the other draft agreement, and granted they're not signed, but with respect to Senator Kerry, all right, title, and interest in the picture in and to the picture, including without limitation, the copyrights in and to the picture shall be owned by WMF. Notwithstanding the foregoing, in the event the parties elect to form a single-purpose LLC in connection with the picture, WMF may assign such right, title, and interest in and to the LLC. In both documents, it provides that ultimately the ownership of the film itself could end up with the committee through an equity interest in an LLC or Senator Kerry, and that brings it farther along than I can support in this particular opinion. So having said that, with some reluctance, I'm not going to be able to support going ahead. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I won't go through my reasons why I support approving the request that was made in this matter. I set forth those reasons last week, but nothing's changed between this week and last week, so I just wanted to state that for the record. So I would make the motion that we instruct counsel to draft a document indicating that the commission was not able to reach a majority opinion as to the request that was made in this advisory opinion.
Any further comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion passes 5-0. The next matter is, draft advisory opinion 209-12, Senator Norm Coleman matter. Ready to proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda document number 09-34 presents two alternative draft advisory opinions in response to a request by Senator Norm Coleman and his principal campaign committee, Coleman for Senate 08. Senator Coleman has incurred and anticipates he will incur further legal fees in connection with civil lawsuits in Texas and Delaware, several Senate Ethics Committee complaints, and a letter requesting an FBI investigation. Senator Coleman and the committee ask whether the committee may use campaign funds to pay these legal fees. Both drafts conclude that the committee may use campaign funds to pay legal fees for responding to media inquiries about these matters, reviewing complaints to the Senate Ethics Committee, and representing Senator Coleman in an FBI investigation of alleged violations of federal law or rules governing the office of a senator or the conduct of campaigns. The drafts conclude this would not be a conversion to personal use because these legal fees would not exist irrespective of Senator Coleman's campaign or duties as a United States senator. Both drafts conclude that the committee may not use campaign funds to pay legal fees for representing Senator Coleman in an FBI investigation unrelated to alleged violations of federal law or rules, as that would be personal use. The two drafts differ in their conclusions about the legal fees relating to Senator Coleman's possible involvement in the Texas and Delaware lawsuits. Draft A concludes that the committee may not use campaign funds to pay legal fees for representing Senator Coleman in the Texas and Delaware lawsuits, as that would be personal use. However, Draft A concludes that because monitoring those lawsuits contributes in part to legal fees that the committee could pay, the committee may use campaign funds to pay 50% of the legal fees for monitoring those lawsuits. Draft B concludes that the committee may use campaign funds to pay legal fees for representing Senator Coleman in the Texas and Delaware lawsuits, as that would not be personal use. We received two comments on the request and one comment on the alternate drafts. I'm available for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Council. Appreciate that. Any comments from any of the commissioners? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought when I came in this morning I had the potential to be the swing vote on this, and I'm not sure if it's going to work, but I'm going to try anyway. And let me say up front that we've been busy doing a lot of exchanges of language on a lot of different documents over the last couple of days, and I was out of the country for a while before that, so I apologize that I made a proposal that I did not make until this morning, and I apologize to my colleagues for not thinking of this until so late in the day. I think that the scenario that Senator Coleman presents is different from the one that Senator Vitter posed to us not that long ago, because the underlying allegations in Vitter concern personal conduct. And here, I mean, looking just at the part where the two drafts diverge, the question is, can he use campaign funds for legal services related to this the Texas and Delaware lawsuits, where if the allegations were established, it would actually implicate Senator Coleman's conduct as an officeholder, either because he might have received an illegal gift or in a salary supplement or in some other way, you know, possibly something much worse, but there's certainly nothing in the record or anything that I've read that suggests that. But if these allegations were to be substantiated in this lawsuit, it could certainly embroil him in another ethics complaint and in other problems as a senator. It would involve the logical result of that would be that he might have done something wrong as a senator under rules that only apply to him as a senator. And so it's not just a question of his status of a senator being at issue, but his conduct as a senator, his duties as a senator. So for that reason, I would be inclined to support Draft B with one very small change to a footnote, just a little change, because I think the commenters raise a good point about recount funds. And for me, it's important to make clear that we're not talking about his recount funds, and the whatever is donated to his recount funds could not be used for these legal expenses. It would only be funds that are donated to his principal campaign committee. So what I would propose is to change footnote 4 so that the in the second to last line of that footnote, I would replace the word address with allow. This advisory opinion does not allow the use of recount or election contest funds to pay legal fees and expenses related to. And then just to clarify what it is we're talking about, I would suggest that we change that to the lawsuits, investigations, and complaints at issue in this request, because I wouldn't want to inadvertently suggest that he can't use his recount funds for recount litigation or lawsuits or investigations or anything else. We're only talking about what's at issue here. It's a very small change. It's important to me. It's actually, you know, I can't support the draft without the change, because otherwise it leaves this whole issue of whether he could use the recount funds for this purpose open. And I bet the requester would like it if he got that answer. I bet he'd be pretty happy with it. It's certainly the best answer he has the potential to get. And I apologize for just suggesting this at the very last minute this morning, but I'm really trying to get to a place where we can give this guy an answer, and I'm trying to work with my colleagues on that and avoid deadlock, and I'm appealing to my colleagues to work with me on this and give me what is basically a one-word change here. So I would be, if it looked like it might actually get anybody but my vote, I would move draft B with the amendment that I just described. But I don't know if I can make the sale or not. I'm still hoping, but I leave it to my colleagues.
And thank you, Council. Any further questions? Commissioner McGann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Although I appreciate the change as a one-word change, one word can do a lot. You know, the word not, for example, is one word, but completely changes. We could just change one word at the beginning and put not and change the whole, or no versus yes. You know, words do mean things. The question I have, though, is where is this issue even before us? Where is this in the request? If I read the requester has not asked the question about using recount funds for this. He's asked about his campaign funds, which I see as a different question. So am I missing something? Because I don't see it in the request. Now, I know commenters have brought this up on their own, but with AOs, it's the requester's request, not what commenters want the request to be. We were willing to drop in a footnote addressing the comments and making clear that this AO doesn't address the issue one way or another. If you can point to the spot in the request where the requester has asked this question, then maybe we can come up with a middle ground.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Excuse me. I just assumed you were off and running, Commissioner Weintraub.
I got carried away. I appreciate that. But the comments suggest that, and I don't know whether this is true or not. I haven't done the independent research to verify this, but the comments suggest that some of this recount money is ending up in the principal campaign account, and it just, I think the issue is out there now. I don't know what is our timeline on this. When's this one due?
July 7th.
I mean, if you want to, again, I realize I threw this at you at the last minute, if you want to think about it and see whether we can come up with some language that would make us both happy, I'm happy to do that.
Mr. Chairman, if I could respond.
Commissioner McGann.
I take that as a response to my question as a no, it's not in the request. And we could spend from now to whenever the end of time is trying to come up with some middle ground on a question that hasn't been asked. Now, AOs are designed to allow people to get real advice in somewhat real time, so that they can then rely on them when they act. And this is a requester that's come in and asked the question beforehand. And I've heard, because I actually go to the oral arguments that our lawyers make to the various courts. I was down in Richmond not long ago, when we were before the Fourth Circuit, to see actually how these things play out. And there is always the representation made that people can seek advisory opinions. In fact, this came up in the McConnell case. I remember Justice Ginsburg making this point in the oral argument that, well, can people just get AOs? And yes, they can, but if we're going to tie up AOs on questions that aren't even asked, the answer then is no, people can't get AOs. But what this really does illustrate is the need for something that's on the agenda after the AOs. And when we have specific questions of requesters at the last minute, we should be able to ask them, but that we see we have an empty table. Okay, but we know counsel to the requester is in the back row, but we can't ask him this simple question. So what you have is one commissioner ascribing intent to the requester, saying, well, I'm sure they would be happy with this answer. But we don't really know that because they haven't actually asked this question. So although I hear you saying you want to come to the middle and all that kind of thing, that's not how I take this suggestion. It's a backdoor to an issue that is much more divisive than you suggest, and it really goes back to, you know, the use of recount funds and what is a recount and all that sort of thing. That's not the issue before the commission. And what I would like to do, Mr. Chairman, is actually address the question that's asked. And the question that's asked is, can they use their campaign funds for the activities that they want to ask for? And let's assume you don't think they can use recount funds. Okay, but what's the answer to the question that's asked? Is it a yes or a no? And not a maybe, because it's a yes or no question. Can they use their campaign funds for what they ask? And that's the question before us, and I think we owe it to the requester to answer that question, not a question that hasn't been asked, and at least they can get a sense of where we are on the actual question.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Weintraub.
I hear you, Commissioner, but for me, the answer to that question depends on whether the funds that he's using includes recount funds.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say there wasn't a recount.
I'm really not trying to fight here. I'm really trying to
find
just a second. Are you completed?
I'm done.
Okay. Commissioner McGann.
Thank you. Let's assume hypothetically, since we're in the world of hypotheticals, right now we're going to answer questions that haven't been asked, so maybe I get to ask a question. Let's say there was no recount, so there's no recount funds. Okay? On these facts, what's the answer?
Okay, Mr. Weintraub, if that's who it was directed to.
If there were no recount and there were no recount funds and we did not have a comment suggesting that he might potentially use those recount funds for this purpose, then you're right. Then we would be talking about something different. And by the way, I agree with you that it would just let me finish. I agree with you that maybe we should have switched the order of the agenda. I bet the previous requester would have also liked to have sat at the table, not in a way. But that's why we're doing what we're doing later, because we're so tired of watching people on the outside nod and shake their head and do sign language for us. But, I don't know. Maybe if the requester's lawyer, who is sitting in the back row there, probably concerned at this point, could come down, maybe he would say, we have no intention of using recount funds, and we're happy to stipulate to that, and that might solve my problem. But and this does I hadn't thought of this way, but I see your reaction, and I can see that this raises another issue that is a bigger issue about whether we should consider anything outside of the four corners of what's in front of us, whether we can read the newspaper, whether we can take in information from that's publicly available. And, I think we can. I always do. But I really did not come in this morning thinking, boy, I'm going to really aggravate my colleagues with this suggestion today. I'm really trying to be helpful, and I'm trying to get to an answer, and I'm sorry if it's not going to work, but really the goals were well-intended.
Mr. McGann.
Thank you. Okay, let me rephrase my question. Hypothetically, if there was not a recount, so there's no recount funds, what would the answer be on these facts? Now, that isn't a rephrase. It's the same question because you still haven't answered the question.
I'm sorry. I thought I had answered the question.
No, you did. You had a lot of other stuff about newspapers and everything else, but you don't. It's not my frustration.
Please, it's, Commissioner, I'm not trying to fight with you.
The request, we owe it to the public to give an answer to the question that's asked. We owe it to the requester. And the recount fund thing is a red herring. And what I'm trying to do is take that off the table and see where you would be to sort of understand your thinking on the issue. If the recount fund issue is not on the table, and I don't think it is, you think it is, we disagree on that, but let's assume it's not on the table. What would the answer be?
I would vote for draft B if that weren't present, but I cannot do it with blinders on and pretend that we didn't receive comments that are also part of the record.
Thank you for answering my question.
I'm always happy to answer your questions.
Any further comments from commissioners? Now, did you make a motion? In all this, I forgot whether you actually made a motion.
I indicated that I was willing to make a motion if it looked like it would succeed, but I'm afraid that it won't, so there's not much point.
We're without a motion. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that there's an effort to see if there can be some way to bridge the divide here. I support draft B, and Commissioner Weintraub brought this to my attention earlier today. And as I've looked at it and thought about it, it's not only been on this matter, but it's been on a number of other opinions as well, where answering the question that's being asked is something that I think is important to stay within those lines. And I think one of the concerns is that if we get outside the area of the request itself, we could potentially have a chilling effect on individuals even bringing forth requests, because if they bring up any issue, then if anything somewhat related to that issue or something that maybe a political opponent could put in, or someone who is some commenter could raise an issue that's tangentially related, and then now we would be making a substantive determination on that related issue, which may lead requesters to want to avoid the advisory opinion request altogether, because there could be some blowback as a result. I know that that's not what the – I don't think that was the intention, but that's my concern about staying within and answering the question that was posed. So for that reason, I appreciate the offer to change that one word. As Commissioner McGann said, sometimes a small change can make the difference. I think I remember once hearing that the phrase "sort of" really means nothing, but in some cases it means everything, such as when it's attached at the end of "I love you" or or "you're going to live." So. So sometimes a very small phrase can make all the difference. But I agree with your analysis on the senator, that this really to say that Senator Coleman's potential role as a witness in the Texas and Delaware lawsuits would have exist irrespective of his duties as an office holder, I can't subscribe to that. I think the alleged scheme that Mr. Kazemini is alleged to have put into place, it was devised precisely because Senator Coleman, in the performance of his duties as an office holder, doesn't make much money, and he wanted to get money to him. In the draft, it even, I believe, Mr. Kazemini articulately says U.S. senators don't make expletive deleted, and so really. The duties of Senator Coleman as a senator, and the issues that could be raised as a result of this lawsuit, I think did arise as a result of his official duties, and so for that reason, I support draft B, and I appreciate the offer to maybe make reach some sort of common ground, but I want to stick with the draft as is.
Yeah. Any other comment? For myself, Commissioner Hunter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with everything that my colleagues, the Vice Chairman and Commissioner McGann, have said thus far. I just wanted to note that while I absolutely agree that we should be answering the question that the requester presents, I think in this case, even in particular, it's hard for me to agree with the language that Commissioner Weintraub presents, as we've discussed a couple of times already this morning, because I think with respect to recount funds, we have incredibly shaky precedents on this, and I don't even agree with one of the with the advisory opinion that, that allowed for the FEC to sort of restrict the way that the recount funds are used in any way, and that's the 2006-24 advisory opinion. So in particular in this subject matter, I'm not willing to sort of make a decision in a footnote when the requester didn't ask it whether or not they're able to use recount funds for this purpose. I don't think the FEC has jurisdiction to decide that, A, and B, I don't think we can restrict it as a legal matter. So in particular in this point, I wouldn't be willing to do that. I'm wondering if maybe Commissioner Weintraub would consider, and again, I think it is a compromise for us to even have the footnote in there to begin with. And that's kind of, we started with without one, and then there is one. But I'm wondering if it would help you at all to just delete it altogether as a possible way to move forward in this case. And another thing to consider is, according to this advisory opinion 2006-24, any committee can set up a recount fund. And then, of course, they can't use the money unless they have a recount fund. So are we going to say in every advisory opinion that comes out between now and then, in the event that you have a recount, or in the event that you set up a recount fund and then have a recount, you can't use it in this way? I mean, are we now going to, every time a requester brings up an issue that wasn't asked, and especially in recount funds, it's so hypothetical, and it's not something I think we want to sort of go down that path. So I wonder if by any chance you might agree to just deleting the footnote altogether.
Mr. Weintraub.
I appreciate the offer. I think the suggestion that we would, you know, now start randomly inserting into every you might set up a recount fund even though you're not now, is a silly one. And I think you know that's not what I'm saying. What we have is a record that includes, you know, we have a process that includes commenters. And commenters comment. They provide us with other information. And the only way that I can, I mean, I appreciate your offer. I mean, I guess the answer is no. That's not going to do it for me because it's already been introduced into the record. And we know he does have a recount fund. So saying, well, what if he didn't have a recount fund and, you know, would you hypothetically want to ban some fund that doesn't exist? I mean, the answer to that is no, because it wouldn't have been raised, and it has been raised. And I understand it hasn't been raised by the requester, but it's there now. So I appreciate the offer to try and take the issue off the table, but I can't. For me, that would just be ignoring the issue that's been raised by the commenter, so I can't quite get there either.
Further comment? Well, I will say that this afternoon we hope to, if it doesn't look like it's going to be this morning, maybe do something that might really make a difference, because in a particular case like this, if we were able to talk a little bit about that with the counsel for the requester, we might find ourselves with enough stability in the facts to either compromise or vote easily one way or the other, and hopefully we'll introduce a procedure like that. I know it's been asked for by counsel that I can see here before. It was asked for about 2003, and hopefully we'll get there today and help us get to yes or no easier. For myself, I still believe draft A gets the job done best. The issue on authorizing campaign funds 100% for some collateral litigation to me is not one I can buy off in enough instances to say 100% is always going to be the case. And 50% is a compromise. I grant you that. Some would say zero. Some would say 100. But 50%, yes, Mr. Elias, it is a little arbitrary because in this particular case we found ourselves compromising before, and here we go again looking at that. So I'm willing to continue with the 50% approach. Yes, there are some grave allegations that are made. On the other hand, they may come and go quickly, and the gravamen of the litigation may take different turns and have nothing to do with the congressman or the senator, so, you know, or whatever public official exists. So in this particular case, draft A does the job for me. Do we want to have a motion one way or the other? Commissioner Bowman.
Well, I had another idea, and staff has suggested another idea. So maybe could we take 5 minutes and trade some language? Maybe
yeah. We'll take a five-minute break.
To answer it if we could.
We'll take a five-minute break. Well, now we convene Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do think this is the first time we have ever taken a break that was shorter than the amount of time that we said we were going to do. Okay. With the able assistance of staff, and I want to thank Ms. Rothstein for just – massaging the words a little bit, the proposal would now be, and, well, why don't I do this as a motion? I move that we had. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was not making a motion, but let me explain what it is, and then I'll stop. Sorry. I was too enthusiastic. I was so excited. The proposal would be that in footnote 4 of draft B on page 6, the second sentence would read, although Senator Coleman is involved in a continuing recount of the 2000... Oh, no, wait a minute. We have to take out although. Senator Coleman is involved in a continuing recount of the 2008 election, period. This advisory opinion should not be relied on as allowing the use of recount funds because it does not address the use of recount funds. And I think, you know, we can all right, we got thumbs up on the other side. Hopefully that'll make the requester happy. I, you know, wish we could invite him down to give him the opportunity to give us thumbs up too. But, okay, so let me stop now because there are other commissioners who wish to speak, but I'm very pleased that, in fact, we can give an answer. How wonderful.
Commissioner Bartley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm pleased for you. I really, really, this was painful for all of us. So. And just for the record, I that was how I read your original word change. And so perhaps this is useful discussion to realize that my view of that word change was simply to say that this advisory opinion, whatever it is, can't be relied on to do something that's not specifically requested. And I think that's set forth in our in the regs, I think it's set forth in other places, but I do think that it's worth emphasis in certain instances. With respect to the drafts themselves, I think that they agree as to the permissibility of spending campaign funds for many of the listed expenses. And while I recognize that the 2 points of disagreement are not insignificant with respect to the items that may be covered, I think there really are only two as I read them. And the first is with respect to the representation in the shareholder suits. And I disagree with my colleague a little bit on how they are interpreted with the comments that Commissioner Weintraub made. I don't believe that for me there's enough of a nexus to find that there's between these the expenses that the requester seeks to pay and for the lawsuits that are shareholder lawsuits and alleged corporate malfeasance on the part of an officer of the corporations. While I know that there are allegations that suggest that the officer took his steps because he may have been motivated by Senator Coleman's status as a member of the Senate and his apparently viewed measly pay, I will simply note for the record that senators make a lot more than those of us sitting up here and many people in this country. But that said, that's all relative, I suppose, as to what someone thinks is a sufficient salary. But here where the lawsuit surrounds allegations about the corporate malfeasance, those allegations and the expenses related to the suit, in my view, would exist irrespective of campaign or official duties. And the second area of disagreement is the one that the chairman mentioned regarding the monitoring of the lawsuits. And I share his view that that is a compromise that has been reached in past AOs. And while I may prefer that no funds be spent on those costs, I think that this requester is entitled at least to the benefit of what other requesters have gotten in the past. And that's why I think draft A reaches the appropriate conclusion with respect to those expenses. So because draft A is first on the agenda, I'd like to go ahead and make a motion, if my colleagues don't object, to moving that draft, understanding, of course, where the votes will be.
Please do.
I would like to move adoption of draft advisory opinion 2009-02 draft A as designated in the agenda document 09-34.
Thank you. Any further comment? Commissioner McGann.
I hate to drag it out, but I want to state why I don't like A. This whole issue of use of campaign funds with respect to paying lawyers has been something that has I don't know if it's really a new thing, but it seems to be that the AOs are, to be kind, all over the place. I read the Colby AO from not long ago as really the more accurate statement of the law, and I note draft A cites Colby at the threshold in a site that says see Colby for the general proposition that you can use campaign funds for campaign purposes or for legal fees in certain circumstances. But once it gets into the meat of draft A, the part that says no, the citations to Colby disappear. It's as if it's not there. And the citations in A sort of selectively pull different AOs here and there. Now, one can take that one of two ways. Either A is breaking new ground and reversing Colby, which I think probably it tries to do that without saying so. Or two, it's to the point now where the commission needs to get its act together on this issue, because when someone has a problem, they need to hire a lawyer in modern society. And I remember when I was in law school, I read a book by F. Lee Bailey, and his intro was whenever he gets a client, he said he would sit down and they would, you know, sort of have the discussion of whether the person really needed a lawyer, and Lee would ask his potential client, well, you know, did you do it or didn't you do it? And the client would inevitably say, well, I didn't do it, and Lee said, that's precisely why you need a lawyer. If you did something wrong, you know, all the lawyers in the world aren't going to help you. I mean, you may get a better deal. But people need to be able to sort of make decisions in real time. And when you get into sort of micromanaging the ability of people to hire lawyers, particularly public officials who are in the spotlight in a way that very few private citizens can appreciate, you need to respect, one, the ability to do it quickly, and two, that there's attorney-client privilege. And we can't really get into micromanaging what lawyer was doing what and what percentage of time and that sort of thing, which is why I sort of reject the whole percentage thing. As it gets too close to something that I think is very important in our system of justice, which is the attorney-client privilege. And it seems odd that you have to go and sort of explain to the government why you need to use campaign funds to defend yourself from another part of the government. I don't think it really turns on the conduct of the public official, because at the end of the day, it's not the conduct of the public official. It's what people say the public official may or may not have done. And if he didn't do anything wrong, that means there is no conduct. So the nexus to conduct really doesn't work. But that's a long way of saying I hope at some point the commission can address this issue with respect to legal fees and provide some sort of coherent guidance so that folks who need lawyers can get lawyers. And that we don't have to go AO after AO after AO. I know in the personal use regime it is sort of a case-by-case basis, but, you know, the statute is rather broad, you know, lawful purpose. And that was taken out by McCain-Feingold but then put back in. I see that as significant. And I see some of these AOs had drifted towards the and probably rightly so, when the lawful purpose language was struck, they drifted towards a much more regimented view of the use of campaign funds. We're back to what it was before, and I think the commission needs to step up and do something on this front, because otherwise we're going to continue this issue. Senator Vitter had this in the fall. Now we have Senator Coleman with this issue. Senator Kerry just had a personal use issue, not really regarding lawyers, but it's really same church, different pew. So that's just what I want to say, Mr. Chairman. I hope we can work together to come up with some sort of coherent lines on this so as to not invade attorney-client privilege and other issues that I think are very, very important in our system. So I'm not going to vote for draft A, and that's an elaborate way of saying why, but I appreciate why there could be differences on this as a policy matter, but I think we have to take sort of current law, or at least what the commission has done in other situations, and to me, Colby, the Colby AO, which allows for a very permissive use of campaign funds, is to me the operative rule. But other people can disagree, and that's why we have six commissioners,
and not seven. Oh, thank you, Commissioner. It is a tug of war every time you look at something like this to try and figure out the right way to deal with it, and. And I guess the 50% figure seems like it's kind of a bright line, not exactly right, not exactly wrong, but could be a serious charge, could be peripheral, could go nowhere. We want to say nothing, we don't want to say everything, and so we find ourselves struggling. And if we have a pure case-by-case basis, we'll find ourselves, you know, we're trying to figure out between 60% and 40% and 30% and 80%. And that doesn't help either. So, yes, I agree if there's a way we can begin to resolve it. But we do get letters, I think, you know, I'm not sure if it was in this case, but people saying, why are we allow campaign funds to be spent for things where felonies are being charged? And I think we are sensitive to, okay, when can this be sufficiently found to have a nexus to duties, not necessarily status, but duties, or the campaign activity to justify it, and when can't you? So that's a long way of saying it is a problem. We should try and clarify it, probably in MIGS, if we can do that and get some more, you know, current thinking about what's the best way to go. However, Mr. Barlow, back to you. Okay. All right. The motion is now pending. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. The motion fails. Commissioner Millenbaugh voted in favor, and the other commissioners voted against. We're ready for another motion. Yes, Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of Draft B with the amendment previously discussed, and I think just for the sake of perfect clarity, I'm going to reread the entire footnote 4 on page 6 of Draft B of AO 2009-12 so that everybody knows what we're talking about. So the footnote would now read, as amended, this advisory opinion concerns only the use of campaign funds to pay for the requested legal fees and expenses. Senator Coleman is involved in a continuing recount of the 2008 election. This advisory opinion should not be relied on as allowing the use of recount funds because it does not address the use of recount funds, period.
Thank you. Any further comment? Ready for a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. The motion passes 3-2. The vice chairman. Excuse me, 4-2. I didn't mean to leave you out. I was thinking to my left.
It's the six commissioners, three.
Yeah, right. Commissioner Weintraub, vice chairman, Commissioner Hunter. Yeah, right. And Commissioner McGann voting in favor. Let's see. Sounds good.